So today, this Remembrance Sunday, I would like to tell you a story. I'd like to tell you a story about this picture. In choir, I apologize, you can't see it, but it's a picture that Mike has now put up for us on the screen. This, as you can see and as you can probably imagine, this is a communion kit. It's a picture of a communion kit up on the screen. Most priests have one. Jillian has one. I have one. It's a pretty essential part of our job as a clergy person to have a communion kit. There's a chalice, wine, there's a paten for bread, and a little flask to hold the wine as you travel from place to place. And this particular kit belonged to Captain the Reverend Walter Leslie Brown, as Mike has also put his picture up there. And although Walter and I share a last name, we are not related, except by the fact that we are both graduates of the Faculty of Theology at Huron University College in London, Ontario. And that is where this photo, the close-up photo, Mike, if you please, was taken. This is where this photo was taken, on the altar at the chapel at Huron. That's the chapel where Jillian and I first met, a chapel that has been a spiritual home for hundreds of Anglican clergy for more than a century as they've trained to serve our beloved church across the country and around the world, a chapel where this communion kit will be once again used later today, as it is on every Remembrance Day, to share the body and blood of Christ. Walter Brown, I'm told, prayed regularly in the Huron Chapel, as Jillian and I often did. Walter studied there in the late 1930s. He was born in Peterborough, Ontario. in 1910 and graduated with his degree in theology from Huron in 1938, at the still young age of 28. He was then ordained by his bishop, first deacon and then priest. After completing a required curacy, he, like so many other young clergy of his time, he immediately enlisted in what was then called the Canadian Chaplain Service, now the Royal Canadian Chaplain Service. He enlisted in 1941. And as an Anglican, Walter joined together with Christians from Canada's many denominations, Roman Catholic, United, Presbyterian, Lutheran, to minister to our troops serving overseas in the Second World War. Walter trained with his troops first in Canada and then in the UK. And his unit was ultimately assigned to the 3rd Canadian Division, the division which took part in the famed D-Day landings in Normandy on June the 6th, 1944. Walter successfully landed with his troops on Juno Beach, surviving the treacherous crossing of the English Channel and the murderous Nazi machine gun fire, all the while carrying this communion kit with him in his rucksack on his back. And as a chaplain, Walter carried no weapon. No rifle nor pistol, just a standard issue army kit, some extra medical supplies, a small Bible, and this communion set. Like so many padres, Walter was known for bringing words of calm and comfort to his troops during moments of great tumult. He was known for cracking jokes and handing out what few cigarettes were on hand to help break the constant tension. Soldiers sometimes ask why it is that padres don't carry weapons, why it is that they don't carry a knife or a sidearm, at least to defend themselves. One more current padre, once told me that they heard a soldier asking a similar question of their company commander, and the company commander really wisely replied back, because the padre is here to remind us of what normal looks like. Carrying weapons in this world isn't normal. Not carrying weapons is. That's why the Padre's here. That's why they don't carry a weapon. They remind us of what normal looks like. Following the landing on Juno Beach, Walter traveled inland with his unit towards Caen as the Canadian and other Allied forces advanced further into Normandy. And they managed to avoid further contact with the Nazis for almost 2 days. But they were ultimately captured by an SS unit, Kurt Meyer's unit, on June 8th, 1944. Meyer had infamously given an order to his soldiers to take no prisoners. And so Walter, along with the surviving members of his Canadian unit, were summarily shot by the SS. Just outside Bagny-sur-Mer, June 8, 1944. Walter was only 34 years old, the same age that I will be in January. And to the best of our knowledge, he was the only Allied chaplain ever executed by the Nazis throughout the entirety of the Second World War. In another lifetime, I could have been Walter. And that communion kit up there could have been mine. And that is what is so dangerous about the business of war. That is part of what makes it so dangerous and deceptive and deadly. We think so often of war as something so far away. We think of it as something that could never happen to us, never happen to me. And yet we are just one step removed. One bad decision away from being right in the thick of it. From being what was once far away, all of a sudden becoming here and now. From what could never be, all of a sudden becoming you and me. It takes work. It takes work and faith to live into the teaching that we receive from Jesus this day. It takes work and faith and vigilance and above all else the gift of God's grace to embrace the eternal truth that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And so today we give thanks for the ministry of peacemakers, for those who continue to serve the cause of human freedom today, and those who have gone before, military and civilian, young and old, men and women. Today we give thanks for the ministry of peacemakers and we honor them. We honor all who serve. We honor them by recommitting ourselves to the cries that went up from the trenches of Belgium and France 100 years ago, the cries that could be finally heard on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month when the guns finally fell silent. The cries of never again. Never again shall war and violence separate us as beloved children of God. Never again shall nation lift up sword against nation. We shall beat our spears into pruning hooks and our swords into plowshares, and violence and war shall be no more. This will be the end of all wars, they said. Never again. Looking back now today, 100 years on from the end of that great war, we might think they were so naive. We might think that that vision of never again is totally impossible. And our history over the last 100 years would certainly tell us so. We might think it's totally beyond our human capacity as a species to achieve. And yet if we do, if we cease keeping the faith, we deceive ourselves. We lose a bit of our humanity. We lose a bit of our souls. Because yes, we are human, and yes, we do fail, but with God, all things are possible. With God, streams of living justice can and do flow down upon this earth. With God, the stranger and the enemy can become the brother and the sister and the friend. With God, never again can be what normal truly looks like, because it is what normal truly looks like. And so today we pray. We pray for the healing of the nations. We pray for a peace that will not end. We pray for all those who have sacrificed so much so that we might be able to gather and pray freely on this beautiful fall day. We pray for people like Walter, for all who have borne the suffering of war at home and abroad, physically and mentally, our families, our friends, and our neighbors. And we pray that God will show us the way. Show us the way to your peace, O Lord. Show us the way to shalom. Show us the way to what normal truly looks like. Show us the way to never again.